The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John's engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on 10:30. Tucson's trusted voice in Southern Arizona. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, and you're listening to 1030 with our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of the podcasts available for you, buckmastershow.com, live line number 790-2040. Have a very busy hour as usual, so let's get right at it with Ward 3 Democrat. Paul Durham is here. Councilman Durham, how are you, sir?
Good, Bill.
You must be happy. The early scooter ridership numbers look very promising. We're 1 month into this pilot program, and from what your transportation department is saying, nearly 37,000 trips, 60% of them in the downtown area, have been taken so far using the two companies, Razor and Bird Scooters. So that's good news.
Yes, and it's important that there have been no major injuries lately. But, you know, the e-scooters reduce carbon emissions when they displace car trips.
Mm-hmm.
They don't when they displace walking trips.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we'll see. In 6 months or a year, we'll have a survey that will tell us whether they're displacing car trips.
And this is a pilot program for a year or what? Was it a one-year
No,
year
it's
deal?
A six-month pilot program, but it'll probably be extended for a year.
Barring any big problems.
Yeah.
And let's hope there aren't. Downtown Ronstadt Center looks like it will be a go now for a major makeover. What will the bottom line to that be, Paul Durham?
Well, I think it's a very good program. The FTA still needs to approve it.
The Federal Transportation Department.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it will provide additional parking, residential and commercial options, while using the valuable land more efficiently. It's a good deal for the city, and it's about time we move forward.
What kind of development will go in there? Is it a mixed-use area?
Commercial, a hotel, residential, and parking.
Mm-hmm. And so when is this, what's the timetable for this? Within the next year?
No, it'll take a couple years to build.
Okay. So right now it's just on the drawing board.
Mm-hmm. It's subject to FTA approval, and then we'll go forward from there.
How are we doing with the buses? Do we have now a test bus that runs electrically?
Yes. We've got...
One bus? Or?
We've got one bus that will be delivered in January.
Okay.
And then we've received a FTA grant for 3.7 additional buses.
Did you say 3.7? You mean there's going to be a bus out there that's like a three-quarters of a bus?
So with
it's going to have an engine.
With help from TEP, who's donating the charging infrastructure, we hope to round that to four buses.
Okay,
those will
ahead.
Be delivered in about a year.
I want to talk about raising the age of tobacco from 18 to 21. As you know, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, I believe it was a 3-2 vote, said no to this. So this is kind of a contentious issue when it went before the city last week to raise the age from 18 to 21. And I believe the vote to let this move on to staff to kind of fine-tune was 4-3. And you were definitely a yes on that, right?
Yes. Well, I was disappointed in the Pima County Board of Supervisors vote. It would have been far better to implement it countywide. But we need to take a stand. You know, if we waited for the state or federal government to act, we might be waiting a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the use of e-cigarettes in high schools and middle schools is exploding. We've got to take a stand and now and show leadership.
Well, the knock on this, Paul Durham, has been you could just go now to the county to get your tobacco products. But are you saying take a stand at least in a symbolic measure to go on record against the tobacco use for younger people?
90% of high school students are 18 by the time they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have friends who are 21 as much as they have friends who are 18.
Mm-hmm.
So even if some do travel, the use of e-cigarettes in high schools and middle schools still is significantly reduced.
And trying to enforce this, though, it is going to be pretty much symbolic, right?
No. We will have a minimum of $120,000 to enforce that, and we don't know how many vape shops there are.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have additional money. We're raising the insurance cost, the license fee, from $100 to $300, and we're enforcing it with business license staff, and we'll get as much enforcement as that budget of a minimum of $120,000 provides.
How about Proposition 205? You're a no on that.
Yes, yes.
Why is that? You're afraid the money's going to be taken away, the state money?
You know, it endangers state shared revenues and federal grants, and it would end cooperation with federal law enforcement agencies of all types, even unrelated to immigration.
But on the surface, people see that this is to make the area more migrant-friendly for people maybe that don't research this enough. Are you worried that on the surface it looks good, but as they dig into the details, not so good? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yes, it sounds good and it's well-intentioned, mm-hmm. but I believe it would be very expensive to the city of Tucson.
All right, Paul Durham, thank you very much. Ward 3 Democrat with us on the Buckmaster Show. Right now it's time to talk to our friends about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. 70 degrees right now during, it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They're an hour ahead of us, so that's a nice day, very nice in the high country. 5,000 feet to 7,000 foot elevation, certainly worth your while. How about an autumn road trip this weekend? The 3-hour drive to Silver City. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find a list of some great ideas of things to do, like visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument or the Gila National Forest, or just hanging out in historic Silver City. Great places to stay. All of it there, southwestnewmexico.org. Shelley Fishman is coming up next, certified financial planner, giving me, on the other side of the glass, a very high and enthusiastic thumbs up, meaning the market is having a very good day. And we love to see that on a Tuesday, which, for whatever reason, isn't usually the case. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's 10:30, The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And what say we consult with Shelly Fishman in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Shelly, it's a Tuesday, and I'm happy to report the big thumbs up is
in
effect.
Yeah, all the lights are green because it's the Green Things studio.
It is.
We're having
sure
a good day.
It sure has brought us luck since they have gotten the naming rights, I'll tell you.
That's true. The good thing when the market's up like that, we can talk about other stuff.
Yeah. Market's up big time, though, today. Any reason before we move on to our topic of the day?
The market wants desperately to believe that somehow the Trump administration is going to be able to fix this China embargo, China tariff, China trade war thing. And every time Trump, you know, gets on the air or on tweet and says, yeah, we're close to a fix, the market tries to believe him. I don't know why, because he's lied about it so often, but anyway.
But the slightest whiff of optimism
does move
the market, and for whatever.
There's also some very positive or potentially positive news on Brexit, which the market likes as well.
Mm. They still leaving the...
Well, they're leaving, but it appears that there has been an offer made by UK to the...
The EU.
To the EU ministers, who have until tonight at midnight to approve it. Mm-hmm. And apparently the Irish question is addressed there and addressed adequately. Now, it's not at all clear whether the UK Parliament will approve it. They've turned that thing down four or five times.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's getting to be Halloween, and so they have to make a decision.
That's right. October 31st coming up. Big day for Britain. Well, I'll tell you, this health insurance is a huge issue for the family plan, the family budget, for just about all of us. And for working people, you really hope your employer is one, giving you health insurance, and two, making it to the point where it is doable.
Right. You know, Bill,
the
cost of health care in the U.S.,
it's huge.
Is around 19% of GDP.
Jeez.
Now, in the rest of the industrialized world, it's about 11 or 12%.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we don't get the outcomes that the rest of the world gets in terms of infant death, infant mortality, and life expectancy. So we're spending more and enjoying it less. That said, what this statistic that I'm about to quote has done is made it more personal. You know, it's hard to think of yourself as part of, you know, 19% of GDP. But what's happened, and this is in just the last decade, talking about families who have employer-sponsored health care. In 2008, the employee paid approximately $13,375 a year for their family health care. And the split was 74% to the employer and 26% to the employee. So they were paying approximately 25% or 26% of that $13,000. Today, the total has gone from $13,000 to $20,576.
Wow.
That's just in a decade.
Ah.
And the employer is only paying 71% of the total, which is $14,561. So if you are a family trying to just raise the family and have decent health care coverage, even if your employer is paying for it, in the past decade, your costs have gone up something like 40%.
That is huge.
And that's something that is a big headwind for the economy, because that's money that you spend on health care that you don't have to spend on being in the middle class.
That's right.
On consuming, on you know, paying tuition for your kids. There's so many things that you could be doing with that money. Now, you know, we know what the current politics is, and you know, Obamacare tried to begin to solve the problem not of the employer covered health care, but of those people who are not covered by employer provided health care, and you know, really got to a big piece of the problem. But what's happened is we had, going into Obamacare, we had almost 18% or 19% annual rises in the costs of insurance. That came down for several years for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was that we were in the middle of a recession. But that then caught up about 3 years ago, and we started to have those costs rise exponentially. So the cost of healthcare, both for the economy as a whole and for individuals and families, is such that it is a big drag on the economy, and it's something that's got to be fixed.
So the average cost over $20,576 for the family plan. Now, what about the employer? How much, you said how much they were going to cover, but we haven't gotten into like deductibles and things like that.
Well, okay, so that's the total cost of their health insurance coverage.
Okay.
So of that, the employer is now covering $14,561. That's the exact figure that the statistics are saying. The rest is being paid either by an employee match or by co-pays and costs of drugs and that kind of thing. So that's for the typical family where you have a income in the area of about $70,000-$75,000 a year. $20,000 of that is the cost of health care, and $6,000 is right out of their pocket. So you're talking about close to 10%, and that's before taxes.
Yes.
Close to 10% of a family's earnings are going to health care coverage.
It seems like we've been talking about this health care issue for decades, and we don't really make any progress.
Well, that's right. We have been talking about it for a very long time. We thought we were making some progress. And of course, the candidates now on the Democratic side are looking for ways to address the problem. Now, you know, whether you think that Medicare for All is a good idea or Medicare for those who want it is a good idea, what is clear is that we absolutely need to find a way to make the general base of insured people so large that those people who need excess coverage because of health issues and those people who are healthy and don't need to go to the doctor more than once every couple of years, young people mostly, that those are people in the same insurable group.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they become part of the same risk pool.
Mm.
And when that happens, then you can spread insurance costs over a larger number of people. That would be a very good thing. The other thing that we have to begin to do is make decisions about how we do healthcare that is driven by outcomes rather than driven by process. Mm-hmm. So, today, you know, you've got X-ray offices and you know, practically on every corner, you know, you can get these very expensive procedures.
Get an MRI
that you probably don't need.
Just about every corner.
Right. Now, the extreme of that is, of course, what used to be called death panels. There have to be some decisions made about what's covered and what's not covered. You know, your second liver transplant probably isn't going to be covered. But other countries have dealt with this very effectively. And we have to learn to do it too. And the AMA and some other lobbying groups are going to have to figure out how to work to get the total costs down to about 12% of GDP and figure out a way to make the insurance pools so large that everybody is sharing in the cost.
All right, let's go to the live line. Matt has a quick question Shelley Fishman. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, hey, Shelley. I saw Charles Schwab on recently, and he seemed to recognize and bemoan the fact that the brokers have basically gone to zero cost on their charges. What's driving that? Is it the technology has finally overwhelmed them? And how do they make money if they don't charge for, making broker fees?
That's exactly the right question, Matt. How do they make money?
What this is
unbridled competition has resulted in, I think, having firms make decisions that are against their best interest. Now, look, these firms, whether it be Schwab or anybody else who are in the business of acting as broker dealers, are not nonprofit firms. They are going to make money, so they're going to find other ways to make it, and the consumer is going to pay somewhere. The nice thing I thought about having discounted fees for trades was that it was fully transparent. You knew exactly what you were paying each time. Now what's going to happen, I think, unfortunately, is that some fees will get hidden and you won't see them.
Hmm. So that's the big deal now, zero
yeah,
fees.
Yeah, you can have an account that you don't pay for on an annual basis, and when you trade, there's no fee. So the question then becomes, how do they make money? And, you know, they're going to find a way.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shelley, and final comment before we wrap it up on health insurance?
My final comment is watch what's happening mostly on the Democratic side, see what's being proposed, and press these candidates for not only specifics on what they're proposing, but how they propose to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if it comes up, and it should come up
tonight.
Oh, yeah. With the Democratic debate. All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much, and we can find out more about you. There's a link at buckmastershow.com, and it gets you right to Shelley. Thanks, Shelley.
Okay, Bill, have a great week.
You too.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. Ryan is President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, serving travelers for more than 40 years, an institution in the travel business, certainly in Arizona. 75 Bon Voyage travel experts. These are very nice people. They are very knowledgeable. They know what they are talking about, and they're standing by right now. They'd love to create a lifetime trip for you, or maybe not even a lifetime trip, something perhaps you've been, a place you've been before and like to go back, they can take care of that. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage travel offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. The first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Rhino, how are you?
It's good to see you, Bill.
Always a pleasure, my friend. And today we're going to talk about some travel trends in the business, and right up at the top of the list, river cruising. I know so many people, Ryan Hansen, who say this is the way to do it.
It really is, and it's an emerging trend, and we've talked about it multiple times on this show, but it just warrants more discussion because people don't know about it. They're unfamiliar with what are the differences. Maybe they've been on a Caribbean cruise, sure, and they feel like they know what cruising is. It's totally different. It's a much more intimate, authentic experience and you're going through little villages and cities. Primarily in Europe is where about 85% mm-hmm. of all river cruise inventory is on a handful of rivers, the Rhine, the Danube, the Rhone, and a handful of others in Europe. But there are some others beyond that that are pretty fun. Start in Europe, and then maybe you branch out and you can go on a river cruise in Africa down the Chobe River on the Zambezi Queen and really experience something exotic but safe.
We had a nice dinner with Dr. Don Jorgensen, one of our face-off contributors, Saturday night, he and his lovely wife. We were talking about river cruising because the Jorgensens had just come back from doing the Germany and the river cruise. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting to hear their perspective. They like the fact that it is nonstop scenery. Where you're out on the ocean, you're going to be looking at water a lot.
A lot.
When you are on the river, you've got the scenery going right by you. 24/7.
And if they were in Germany, it was probably one castle after another. Mm-hmm. Every bend had a different view,
right,
of a hillside here or there with flora and fauna and little villages. And that's the beauty of river. We've talked about cruising in general, unpacking once, but then you get to see more than just one stop. And so it's an easy, efficient way to travel. But you also get the spectacular views, wonderful local inspired cuisine in all of these little villages. One of my favorite things to do is to find the local bakery.
I love bakeries.
Just get something cooked that day fresh.
Oh, yeah.
You can follow your nose little village.
Ryan Hansen's going to be in Green Valley 3:00 in the afternoon. A real nice venue. It's the Community Arts Center. Our listeners in Green Valley, I'm sure, know where that is. And you're going to take a deep dive into river cruising, kind of what we call River Cruising 101.
Yeah, this Thursday afternoon at 3:00. I like to call it the unfiltered, unbiased, unedited view of river cruising. And it's not to say that there are bad things to talk about, but many of your cruise lines you may be familiar with and most likely are with a Viking river cruise line. I'll talk about the differences between what Viking and other cruise lines offer you, what you may not know. I'm going to try to answer the questions you don't even know to ask about river cruising this Thursday at 3:00.
And certainly Viking has a great brand, but there are other products that do compete. You might find one that you like better. So
that's
this is
right.
A great opportunity to talk about it. A big trend in the business is how Uber has really changed the arrival experience, Ryan Hansen, at our airports, not only in this country, but starting around the world.
Yeah, from a business standpoint, new companies come into industries and very rarely do they completely disrupt the space. And Uber and Lyft would be a secondary player in that space in regards to this new terminology called ride sharing and how has it impacted the taxi community, but more importantly for us, how it impacts the rental car purchasing and experience there and arriving at an airport. And there's some news coming out that we like to be on top of for you at LAX. For those people that have not been to LAX recently, it is traffic jam central, not just out on the main roads in downtown LA. The LAX experience can be harrowing, just getting in and out, dropping off and finding your ride. So LAX is changing their entire procedures later this month on October 29th. If you want to catch your Uber ride, which here recently has been right outside one of your main terminals, you're going to have to catch a shuttle to a remote location to pick up your ride-sharing program and your taxi because of the influx of cars into that area. And there's been a recent report that Uber actually came out with and said, on average, 500 rides per hour are being utilized at LAX on any given day. You can imagine the number of cars that reflects. So it's going to be a different experience for you upon arrival at LAX starting on October 29th.
So the rideshare joins the ranks of getting in the bus to go to the rental car and everything else.
Yeah, so one of the advantages of the rideshare program was that you could avoid that shuttle bus. Now it's a little more level-footed playing field, but that does lead us into talking about the rental car industry. A report earlier this year came out. It was analyzing about $140 billion of travel transactions over 2018 and 2019, and there was estimations that of the travelers that use rental cars, 56% of those travelers have decided to completely abandon the rental car usage.
That is like a financial earthquake to the rental car companies. So the younger folks generally are looking the other way.
Well, and I think in addition to that, I think your business travelers that are a little older, so it's not just the millennials driving that. Business travelers find it super convenient on their mobile apps that the ride-sharing programs have to just click a button. You have a profile. You have loyalty points. There's a reason to draw you back in. These companies have done a good job of building a customer base and treating you not as a transaction, but as a customer. And the rental car industry is having to change their ways. Companies like Avis and Hertz are really trying to lead the way, utilizing that same technology to make it easier to rent a car, reduce the lines at the rental car location where you walk off the shuttle and go right into a car because they know you as a customer, and treat that better. I think it's going to help the rental car space be more customer service friendly than maybe it has in the recent past because of the competition.
Yeah, because some of the rental cars, you get in line, you can wait 2 and 3 hours.
I know, and then you get there, and that's, oh, sorry, the car you've rented is no longer here.
Exactly.
There's a Seinfeld episode.
This is going to get, hopefully, the consumer, get them a little more consumer-oriented. I do want to talk about something that's going to start a year from now, and this is pretty darn important for all travelers. Arizona's travel ID, this is something that's changing, and what will be accepted and what won't be accepted, Ryan Hansen, at the TSA airport security checkpoints for domestic travel.
That's right. For domestic travel, your typical driver's license is not going to be used or not accepted as of October 1st, 2020. That seems like a long way off, but as government processes become more difficult and longer, this is not something you want to wait on. TSA will always accept a passport or another federally approved identification card, like a military ID. But if you don't have one of those and you just have utilized your driver's license in the past, you need to and must, moving forward, to travel and fly, TSA will force you to have a travel ID. It's minimal cost. It's a $25 fee. You have to fill out an application in advance, but you must have an in-person appointment either at the MVD or another approved third-party driver's license provider, and they will issue you a new either driver's license with a gold star are embedded in the upper right-hand corner indicating that you have been approved, or a travel ID that is specific just to travel if you have issues or don't need a driver's license. But this is going to be super important. You don't want to be caught at the airport on October 1st or after of 2020 with an airline ticket in hand but not the right credentials to board.
And I don't really want to travel domestically with my passport for all sorts of reasons.
Variety of reasons, right? So go ahead, and if you do have a passport, it's advised that you go ahead and get the real ID. Yep. But if not, the passport still does work for all types of
travel.
All right,
Community Arts Center tomorrow, Thursday, excuse me, Ryan Hansen, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's River Cruising 101 event. That's going to be a great event. More information at bvtravel.com. We'll look forward to your next appearance with us in November. Ryan, always a pleasure.
My friend, it's good to see you, Bill.
All right, we've got Anthony Jimeno, the Wildcat contributor, coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. I want to hear how AG rates the midway point, Ryan, in the season. So we're going to get AG's report.
He'll have
card.
Something good. I
promise. I know. And I'm a quick question for him too about these huge changes coming with the NC2A.
Big changes.
Stuff.
You
do
talk about disruption. Get ready.
There you go. All right, Buckmaster on 1030, Tucson's trusted voice.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
To the Buckmaster Show, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, where we're broadcasting from. Additional support, of course, comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road. What a great location, 13 acres, home to Zocalo. Zocalo's got all that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved, hand-crafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village the next time you're over at Green Things getting all of your plants and nursery items you can't miss at Green Things. AZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Anthony Jimino is the Buckmaster contributor on Wildcat Sports, longtime sports journalist, 2 decades, in fact, covering UA athletics, covered the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star, and the Tucson Citizen. Anthony's senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. He is also the co-founder of a local blog called AllSportsTucson.com, which is doing very well. He's also the co-writer for Arizona basketball book called 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Hello, Anthony. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. Midway point of the football season. I just wondered what your report card looks like as the Wildcats now 4-2. I think the second half of the Washington game kind of brought the Cats perhaps down to earth and maybe thinking more realistically about what lies ahead for the rest of the season. What do you think?
Right. I mean, we're all kind of prisoners of the moment. So, you know, the last image of Arizona was rather sour. And, you know, that came after a week of good buzz about Arizona. Really the first buzz of the season, and had a decent turnout at Arizona Stadium. And for a few days, for a week, there was a little bit of hope and optimism about what the season might bring. So the short term, the prisoner of the moment thought is, yeah, Arizona football again. But the bigger picture is Arizona is exactly where I thought it would be at this point of the season. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, heading in that they had a good chance to finish 7-5. If only because I couldn't pick them to win 6.5 games. I went a little bit above average to go 7. They needed to get there. They needed to at least start 4-1. Against a soft schedule, and although they kind of had some twists and turns in the road in terms of how they got there, they were 4-1, and then, as expected, Washington's a really good team and came in here and won. So they're 4-2, and I think what we end up thinking about this team will be determined over the next several weeks.
And there's certainly a couple of winnable games in there. Oregon State's having just a miserable year, and if the Wildcats were to only beat Oregon State, they would have 5 wins, and I guess that's enough these days to get you into some kind of a bowl, right?
Yeah, not usually. You need some help. If the other bowls can't fill their spots, then there's a possibility. But there's not enough bowls in the West, so usually that's not going to work out in your favor. Arizona needs to get the 6.
What other game do you see as possibly very winnable? Is there a very winnable one? I'm putting Oregon State as very winnable. Do you see any other?
Okay. Although I'm not as down on Oregon State as you are, because they've got a pretty good quarterback. They've got a receiver who's lighting it up, and then their last game they went into LA and beat UCLA, so they might be better than UCLA. And Arizona and UCLA were kind of in a fourth quarter battle just a few weeks ago. But yes, I'm putting Oregon State in the win category. And then you look at the rest of their schedule, Bill, and they probably won't be favored again. They go to USC this week, and they're about 8-9 point underdog this week, and then they go to Stanford, and Stanford's dealing with a bunch of injuries, but I wouldn't expect Arizona to be favored in that game. And after the Oregon State home game, they've got Oregon. They're going to be big underdog there. Then they're home against Utah, which is still probably the best team in the Pac-12 South. And then they finish at ASU, which is a ranked team right now. So asking me to pick another win is asking me to pick an upset or two along the way. And I suspect that'll happen, because that's what happens. Arizona is typically that kind of team that's going to win one of those out of the blue that you don't expect them to win. But the odds are a little bit against it. So they have work to do just to get to 6, and a lot more work to do just to get to that 7 that I thought might be possible before the season.
I think I'm going to move on. We'll see what happens with Wildcat football, because I'm interested, and I've only got a couple of minutes, just your take on the earthquake that has now rocked through the NC2A about California, the law in California that will allow student athletes throughout the Golden State to be compensated for the use of their name, image, or likeness. And it will also allow them to hire agents. Is this the biggest thing that's hit the college athletic scene in our lifetimes?
Title IX was pretty big back in the early
1970s. Oh, yes. Good point.
That was certainly a sea change. And this kind of has been compared to that in some sense. And in that, back in the early 1970s, there was a lot of talk about, oh my gosh, the universities will never be able to pay for all this, and this is going to destroy college athletics. And it did just the opposite. It has enhanced many times over college athletics. And we've seen that time and time again at the University of Arizona with its women's athletic programs. And I hear a lot of the same things. I'm generally in favor of the student athletes getting potential compensation for their image and being able to be compensated for doing advertising or something like that. And the thing the California law has done is put the NCAA on the clock. Now, they've been talking about this for somewhat seriously for more than a decade, and probably a lot longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And they will never do anything unless you put a deadline on it. And now there's at least a dozen other states that have similar legislation, some of which are proposed to take effect much sooner than California's law, which is still 3 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So the NCAA is on notice. I think they will do something. I think they want to do something, but the urgency to get it done was never there. Now it's there, because it makes no sense to have 50 states having 50 different laws about how NCAA athletes can profit. So I think the NCAA needs to get together, and smart people need to get together and figure it out with one unifying law. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I think it's the right thing to do from a college athlete perspective.
Otherwise, you'd have major markets that would have huge advantages.
There's a lot of unintended or maybe even intended consequences with this, and I think a lot of it is the rich will probably get richer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of like I said, smart people need to get together and figure it out. Maybe there's a certain amount of cap you can put on what a athlete can earn. Again, I'm not quite sure of the details, but if it's the California law we're going to be going by, there's still 3 years to come up with some kind of legislation. So they can work towards that, but I think it's a good step.
All right. Your prediction for the game with USC on Saturday.
Well, these teams typically play really close. I mean, mm-hmm. USC is always like the big favorite, and, you know, they've got all the five-star recruits. Last year's game was close. I think for most of the last 10 games, it's been about a touchdown kind of difference. So who am I to buck that trend? I'm going to call it close, but for USC, probably something like in the 35-28 range.
I think that's a good, pretty good safe pick there. Anthony Jimeno, always a pleasure. Thanks, AG.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Anthony Jimeno with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's 10:30. The Voice, your source for trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of John Couch, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 12:04, midweek edition of Buckmaster. Have a good day.